amazed in your presence. There is nothing you cannot do. I stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope. I'm gonna sing it again. I stand amazed in your presence. Yes, Lord. But there is nothing you cannot do. Hallelujah. I stand amazed. Stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you. If I
Psalm 68 and verse 4. If you can give me that verse. It says, sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah. And rejoice before him. He's a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows. He's God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You will not be rebellious. Hallelujah. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Anybody here that is weary? Well, God is saying he's sending rain to confirm you as his inheritance. Hallelujah. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. The Lord gave the what? The word. And great was the company of those that published it. God gave his word. But you and I need to what? Publish it. Are you hearing? King of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Everybody's going to get something out of this. Hallelujah. Those that are in the forefront and those that are at home. Everybody. Because the abundance of God is at play. Watch this. Though ye have lain among the ports, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with what? Silver. And are fed us with yellow gold. God is shifting something right now. When the Almighty scattered kings, in it, it was white as snow in Zalmon. Oh, Lord God Almighty. That means something very special to me. Because I was praying something this morning. The Lord took me somewhere up in the mountains to go minister his word. And as I was going with this sense, this ride, I started to see white. I thought, oh, it was just white stuff, and because it was a different terrain. And when we got out, I found out it was snow. So, and then I shifted out of that dream and went, and it was like I was home. I'm driving out of my driveway, and it was snow all over the place, speckles of snow. So when I got up from that vision, I said, Lord, I don't want early snow. Let it not be winter. We still need summer. But the Lord had a different idea. And I saw it here now. when the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Zalmon. So God is saying, I am scattering kings. Whatever it is that is in your way, I am moving it out of the way right this very moment. If you receive it, say hallelujah. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan. And high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desired to dwell in. So no matter how much you jump, you are not going to match up with what I have chosen. Someone say, I am the chosen of the Lord. There's no competition. Hallelujah. Other hills may try to jump and try to be as high, but this is the chosen hill of the Lord. Praise God. Yet the Lord will dwell in it forever. Someone say forever. I am the chosen of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. Bashan, Sinai, says, I've chosen. Thou hast ascended, watch this, on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God Almighty might dwell among them. Did you hear what God's word says? That God may dwell amongst his people, he has to give them what? Shout it.
Yes.
One more time.
Yes.
Gifts. We say, I receive the gifts of the Lord, so that the Lord may dwell amongst us. If the President of the United States or the Prime Minister of Canada is going to a country, they have to set up that place so that it is befitting. Yes? God does the same thing. He gives you gifts so that you are ready for him. You don't have the capacity to produce what he needs that is suitable for him, so he has to send whatever it is that he needs to be comfortable ahead. And he doesn't take it back when he's leaving. When a country is putting up the Olympics and they build the stadium and all the streets and houses are ready for the people to come, do they tear down the buildings and the stadium afterwards? No, it's there. The same thing with God. God is saying, I'm coming to visit with you. So I'm going to dispatch gifts in your direction so that when I come, I like the place. It looks like my place. The heavens, what did the Bible say in the first part? The heavens dropped down at the presence of the Lord. Is that what the word of God says? Let's go back to 4:5. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that right upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him, the father of the fathers, the judge of the widows, and so on and so forth. And then it says this, verse 7. Let's look at verse 7. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth, what? Shook. Hallelujah. The earth what? Shook. The earth what? Shook. And the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. There is going to be a physical manifestation of that. There is going to be a physical manifestation of that to confirm to you as a sign that God is confirming his inheritance in you. There is going to be a shaking in the earth realm. Amen? Hallelujah. Watch your news. You're going to hear it. Just to confirm for you. Are you okay? Are you ready? You know, sometimes you guys just sit down. You're saying, thus said the Lord. Thus said the Lord. Whatever you're hearing, receive it and be blessed of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. That was from this morning's service. The Lord was saying certain things to us about the gifts that he's dispatching and the things that he wants to do. God saying, just like he has chosen Zion, so he chooses Basan, which means fruitful. And the Lord said to us, from that word, he says, he's going to give us a sign so that you know that what he was saying was going to happen. And I told you there was going to be an earthquake. Did I not say so? You heard it, right? Okay. So I was having supper this afternoon, or dinner, or whatever it is you call it. So I decided to go. I was like, wait a minute. That word that the Lord gave, was there an earthquake? So I went and I searched, and sure enough, there was an earthquake in some strange place I'd not heard about. South Sandwich, whatever, somewhere in the world. I said, that's interesting. South Sandwich Island. Where is that? It took place at 259, 5.1. Okay. So I let that alone and say, well, that's nice. It's somewhere that I don't know. It wasn't even enough. Maybe 30 minutes later, on my device, earthquake in California, 5.1, in Southern California. I said, wow. Something is going on. God is, because he told us, I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to give you a sign. And the interesting thing about it is that the announcement in Southern California, and they call it hurricane, because there's a hurricane coming down, and this is the first time they've ever experienced something like that, you know. And they said, none of the buildings were destroyed. Nothing was destroyed. But they expected everything to be, you know, that kind of a shaking, things should be destroyed. But nothing got destroyed. Everything was just intact. Not a crack on the buildings. Because God was just doing what he said he was going to do, shake the earth. So that you know he is going to bless you. Did you hear that? Yeah. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. Even the rebellious are going to get something out of it. Those that are in the battlefront will get stuff, and those that are sitting at home will enjoy the spoil also. Everybody. Because God is a God who believes in blessing abundantly. Amen? Hallelujah. So, It makes a load of sense why the Lord gave me this word tonight for us. Found in the book of Mark, the 8th chapter, and starting to read from the 34th verse. Anyhow, I asked the Lord, I said, these earthquakes, they're taking place in both of them, south, Southern California, south, Sandwich Island. What is it? Why south? And I'll tell you next week. I'll tell you next week what he said to me, because you want to hear it. You really want to hear what he said about why he decided to shake the south, because it's good news. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Mark chapter 8, let's look at verse 34. Mark 8 and verse 34. You see, God blessing us is a great thing. It's an awesome thing. He fed 5,000 hungry men, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he crossed over the lake, and there were people on the other side waiting for him. And he said, you're not following me because of the word. You're following me because of the miracles, the fishes and the bread. That's why you're following me. And the Lord will warn us today that the blessing he's going to bless, but you and I need to know why we are following the Lord. You need to know why you're following the Lord. That you're not following God because of things, what he's going to give you. He's a giver. That's his nature. He's a miracle working God. That is just him. When God said, I'm going to give you a sign, that's a good thing, but that's not a good thing. Because signs are for unbelievers. And while we celebrate, wow, look what God did, God is saying, hold it. If I am having to show you a sign for you to believe me, you're in trouble. You need to just believe me because I said. You don't need no sign. Just believe my word. Thus saith the Lord, and you receive it. That's it. Oh, Pastor gave a prophetic word and said there was going to be an earthquake, and there was an earthquake. Oh, wow, that's amazing. No, that's not good. Because God doesn't need to give me a sign for me to believe. He said, blessed are those who have not seen but believed. Believe in God. God said, I believe it, I receive it, I celebrate the goodness of God. That's when you're in the right place. He says, when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. In Luke 5, the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into the boat of Peter, who was busy in the shore washing his nets. He'd fished all night and caught absolutely nothing. He comes into his boat and he begins to preach to the masses because there were so many people gathered there. And when he'd finished preaching, he says to Peter, launch into the deep for a draught, for a big catch. Peter says, Lord, I'd fished all night and caught absolutely nothing. It's day. But by your word, at your word, I'm going to cast out the net. The Lord said to him, cast your nets. Plural. He says, at your word, I'm going to do what you said. So he cast one net. And all of a sudden, multitude of fish come into the net. Watch this. And his net started to break. For years, I, as most believers would believe, that all of a sudden fish started coming from everywhere to that net. Until one day the Lord said to me, he said, son, that's not exactly what happened. I said, Lord, what happened? There was fish all over the place. He said, don't you know I created fish out of water? I said, yeah. He said, so when I said, cast your net, and the net touched water, every molecule turned to fish. I say, oh my goodness. It didn't matter whether he took 20 nets, they were all still all going to break. Because the capacity of God to produce the miraculous is not limitable. It's not limitable. There's no limit to the ability of God to bless when he chooses to. Everything is like Midas. When God says, you are the blessed, everything turns to gold. Everything. He says, I'm going to step down and the heavens are going to drop before me. But really, after Peter had that miraculous experience, he was settled for business. He could sell and sell and sell and sell and go on the longest vacation for the longest time. Not only was his boat beginning to sink, he invited his partners, James and John, and they filled their boat, and their boat also started to sink. Too much. They managed to get to shore, and guess what happened? They left all that fish and they followed Jesus. Because Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He called Peter. James and John had no reason to follow. But James and John says, huh? You're calling our partner? Our fellow, this is my friend. This is not like we are partners until we've had what we had and we share what we've got to share and everybody goes their way. No, we are blood brothers. We are in fellowship. You call Peter, we come in too. So the Lord didn't actually say to James and John, follow me. No, James and John says, we're following. You got our bro? We come in. And you could not separate them because they followed Jesus. What is it that separates you? COVID? An instruction from the government? I remember when COVID started, somebody called me and said, they said churches should not hold. I said, that's them. But the police are going to come. I said, the police can come. They only are going to allow 10 people. I said, I have two sides of the building. I'll take 10 over here, and the other side has a different address. We'll put 10 over there. We're not stopping because the government. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, why am I going to obey you and forget about my God? The one who died for me, who raised me from the dead, who sanctified my life, who gave everything for me. Why am I going to be listening to your voice and not to his? And child of God, you and I are going to be challenged in this last of the last days. Before COVID came, I kept on announcing to us again and again. I said, if they squeeze your tube, what's going to come out? Because God forewarned us about what was coming. He said there are going to be open doors and shut doors at the same time. He told us everything. The only thing I did not hear from God was COVID. But I talked about the virus. I said, why did God create viruses? And I said to us at that time, viruses were created for order. Did you know that? I was busy doing some cleaning in the house, and the Lord said, ask me why I created viruses. I said, why did you create viruses? And he said, for order. In the midst of the disorder, that happened in the church, God was putting things in order. He was sanctifying and separating people. Listen, if you were not able to handle COVID, oh my suki suki, you are in trouble. You are in serious trouble spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every area you are in trouble. Because that is nothing. That was nothing. If you knew what the enemy has planned, you have only two choices. Shake and fall dead, or stand up and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Those are the options. Those are the options. You collapse or you stand and make a difference and say like the Hebrew boys and like Daniel. Listen, O king, we're not going to be careful about this. We're not going to serve your God. This big monstrosity that you have there, we're not bowing down to it. If God saves us, great. If he doesn't, we still not. That is the mindset we have. As sons and daughters of the Most High God, we bend not our knees to the enemy. Hallelujah. These knees bend only to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the Savior of all mankind, the one who gave himself for our salvation. These knees do not bow down to Krishna. They do not bow down to Buddha. They do not bow down to Muhammad. They do not bow down to nobody else. Jesus, our Lord, said, guys, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross and follow. Mark 8:34. Take up that cross and follow. We're going to censure you. funny. We're going to stop you. Really? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. While you're trying to save your life, while you're trying to, you know, patch up and make up and try to be tolerant of this and tolerant of that, you know, so that you can last and whatever, he says you're going to lose your life. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. He said, you will save your life by not giving up and quitting and bowing down your knees to that nonsense. Whatever it is that the enemy wants to throw out, to throw you into a place of compromise, he says, let go of that. Have the backbone because you follow me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to follow the Lord and go all the way with him? He says, for what shall it profit a man? What profit is there if you gain the whole world? Even if I bless you with so much and you have so much resources, what profit is it if you got all of that but you lose your soul? The question I must ask myself is this: why has God blessed me? Why is God promising to bless me? The children of Israel were leaving Egypt and were going to go to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. It was going to be just a short journey, actually, 40 days tops. And they will arrive. Well, it took them 40 years. It took them that long because they refused to believe God. They murmured. God fed them with manna and quail, brought water out of the rock, did all kinds of amazing, incredible miracles for them. Even took them into the promised land and showed them, brought back from the promised land the harvest. And they saw it. But in their mind, they said, we are just little grasshoppers. There are giants there. And that's a land that eats up the people, the inhabitants. And the question is, did you meet anybody there? Yeah. So if the land eats up the inhabitants, how come you saw people there? The lies of the enemy are very plain. If you examine it, you see the lie. But the reason I talk to you about that is this. Why then did he bankrupt Egypt with all the gold and the silver and all the expensive stuff? Why is it that the Israelites carried all of that? Because they were going to shop in the shop in some mall in the wilderness? Mall Sinai. Is that why? No, so that his tabernacle could be built. When God blesses us, it's not so that we can drive the biggest stretch limo, and God has no problem with you riding a stretch limo. He has absolutely no problem with that. But you got to understand that the reason why he blessed you is so that you can invest in souls. Make certain that his tabernacle is made manifest, that his glory come down. The blessings of God in my life is so that I can promote the things of his spirit. When I have that mindset, I'm taking up his cross. It's a cross of sacrifice. The cross of sacrifice. Everything I'm doing, I'm thinking about the Lord. Well, how can I help foster the things of God? How can I help things move forward? Because watch this. When Jesus was carrying his cross, do you remember that he fell under the weight of the cross? And somebody else came alongside and helped him carry the cross to the finishing line? Why? God allows himself to be weak so that we can come and participate with him. God can provide everything that we need in this church like that. If God wants to do it, I can go to my bank and find in my bank account $1 billion. Because God says, put $1 billion in there. And the government will start asking and say, that's my money. It's in my bank account. How did you get it? I don't know, but it's there. You do whatever it is you want to do. All I know is I got $1 billion. And I'm going to spend it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have enough money here. If God wants to put $1 trillion in there, he can do it. What stops him? But God doesn't do it because he wants me and you to take care of his business so that he can take care of our business. Hallelujah. But what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Bible tells us in Luke 8, I'm going to come back to Mark 8, 37. In Luke 8, it tells us about the parable of the sower of seeds. And it says that the sower of the seeds, as he sowed the seed and scattered the seed, some fell on the wayside, some fell amongst rocks, and some fell in a thorn-infested ground. He says, and those that fell amongst the thorns, he says, the thorn sprang up with the seed and choked it. Then he said, others fell on a good ground and sprang up and bore fruit 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples asked him later and said, we don't get that. You're always speaking all these parables. We don't get it. What are you talking about? And the Lord says, if you don't understand this parable, how can you get anything else? This is easy. First of all, I want you to understand that the seed is the word of God. 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 And every seed must produce after its kind. True? If I have an orange seed and you recognize it, what would you call it? Orange seed, yeah? You might even call it an orange, because you know the end result is going to produce an orange. So you put it in the ground, and this thing grows out, and plant comes out. What would you call that plant? Orange plant. You've not seen the fruit yet. It grows, begins to flower, and all of a sudden you see all this green stuff around, hanging. And you know that's an orange. It bears fruit, and you eat an orange fruit. The fruit, the plant, the seed are all what? Orange. Yes? The word of God only produces the word of God. So when you receive the word of God and it's inside of you and it's prospering inside of you, you become the manifestation of the word of God. As you're walking day in, day out, you are the word of God working. All creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. He said the seed is the word. That's just a sidestep. He says, they, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then come at the devil and take the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Matthew says, catches the word. The word that the enemy takes out of your heart are the words, see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Yeah? And when you do not align yourself in agreement with the word of God, you will speak unbelief. Understand that unbelief is unbelieving what you should believe or have believed. You believed it, now you unbelieved it. A pagan is not an unbeliever because he's never believed. He's a pagan. He's a heathen. You are the one who unbelieves what you believe. By not coming and saying what the word of God says. The word of God says, I am blessed. And I'm saying, things are really tough for me. I'm broke. And God says, let the weak say, I am what? Strong. But instead of you saying, I'm strong, you're saying, I'm weak. Instead of saying, I'm rich, you're saying, I'm poor. Because God's word says, you are holy, and you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you're proud and arrogant enough to tell God and everybody else, I'm just a terrible sinner. You're not in alignment with the word of God. God says something about you. You say what God says. That's taking up the cross. While people are laughing at you, you are saying what God said. God says, I'm holy, and that's who I am. I walk uprightly before God and before men. I am a saint, not a sinner. Look at you. You've been proud. You've been proud. No man is perfect. God says, I'm perfect. Because his word says, be ye perfect because I'm perfect. Oh, I'm not perfect. And you think that is humility? No, that's pride. That's arrogance. God says something about you, and you're saying something else. No, you say what God said, and you become what God said. That's what you do. Oh, my family is falling apart. And God, meanwhile, God says, I will save you and your household. Oh, my kids. Oh, my kids. They're all doing the wrong thing. No. I don't care what they're doing. I just know one thing. He says to me, he will never leave me nor forsake me, that in my house is wealth and riches. He says, my seed shall be great. So I don't care what silliness they are engaged in. I'm just going to say what God said. And no matter how hard they run, they will be caught by the hound of heaven. That's right. They're not going nowhere. God didn't say, hey, son, you're going to come into heaven, but your kids are all going to hell. No, he says, I'm going to save you and save them. I made a commitment. So I say, God, you remember what you said? And I go to sleep and I relax and let God do what he said he's going to do. Why am I going to spend my time worrying about this and worrying about that? He giveth his beloved sleep. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that try to build it. Except the Lord watches over the city, the watchman watches, but in vain. I'm not going. God did not give me the assignment to worry. The assignment he gave to me is, believe me and chill. That's it. That's what he said. And that's what I'm going to continue with. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He will never leave me nor forsake me. So the enemy steals that word. It says, those that fell on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. They fell away in the time of temptation. They got distracted by temptations, and meanwhile the word of God says he's not going to allow us to be tempted beyond that which we're able to bear, but will provide a way of escape. God always provides the way of escape. The fact is that many times we don't take the way of escape. God says to Cain, listen, there's sin at the door. Do the right thing. Did Cain take it? No. Cain decided to kill his brother. In the mercy of God. When God pronounced punishment on Cain, and Cain cried out to God and said, God, the punishment is too hard for me to handle. God says, I agree with you. Anybody who messes with you and tries to do what I just said, I'm going to mess with them. What kind of a God is this? Wow. A God who loves me so passionately, he will do whatever he's got to do to make certain that it's well with my soul. Hallelujah. If anybody ends up in hell, it's not going to be God's fault. It's going to be that person's choice. That's it. God is not willing that anyone perish, but that all come to repentance. If you're here today and you're struggling in your walk with God, I tell you, there is a God who's able to stand with you and help you overcome whatever it is that's challenging you this very moment. The day will come that you will look at that thing that is tearing you apart this very moment and say, how did I fall for this? This is nonsense. Praise the Lord. Once upon a time, you could have addressed me as a chain smoker. You can't tempt me with that now. Once upon a time, you would have said, this guy is a drunk, because I also drunk one time, I was comatose. This guy talking to you right now, I've been there. And God saved me. Now, what are you going? You going to tempt me with some booze, drugs? What? It won't work. Because there's no appetite for it. Because God delivered and set me free. And when he did that thoroughly. And there's not a challenge, there's not a thing that you're struggling with right this very moment that God cannot deliver you from. Not a thing. You have anger issues, God can calm you down. Instead of shooting your mouth off every time and, you know, going after this and going after God can, peace, perfect peace. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Lost in after everything that works, God can calm you down. And you have no lost issues. You can appreciate people that they are handsome or beautiful, but that's where it stops. You're not undressing people as they're walking around, because that is no longer part of your life. It is the doing of God. You must deny the things of the flesh and cleave to the things of God. By making the decision, God, I need your help. Take me out of this mess. Help me. Change me. Give me a new heart. And God will give you the heart that is befitting him. His kind of heart. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 He says they believed for a while and then temptation came and they fell away. And then those that fell among thorns. These ones heard the word of God. Every one of these heard the word of God. And guess what the enemy was after all the while? If you notice, he's after that word. He doesn't want you to have the word, because if the word of God prospers in your life, he's done. So he finds everything to attack the word of God. Even while you're listening to the word of God right now, I can be certain that the enemy is messing with somebody. I don't believe that. Or else will make certain that you don't hear it. Remind you about the roast that you did not eat this afternoon. Oh, when I get home, I'm going to eat that nice roast. They went forth, and then it says, and are choked. They are choked with the cares, with the riches, with the pleasures of this life. You know, there are people that will go to a football game, a boxing game, a wrestling game. And they will gladly put $25,000 down just to sit in the front row. 50,000. And they will never say, all that basketball team wants is my money. And they will stay there for 3 hours. You know, there are movies, you know, recently there were quite a few movies that lasted 3-4 hours. Yeah? And people will sit down there for 3-4 hours, not move. But if you are in church for 2 hours and the man of God is preaching for 2 hours, oh, the service is too long. It's too long. Yeah? It tells you exactly what the issue is. The things of God too long. But you will sit down in front of your television and watch 10 programs. One sitting. Not bat an eye. Just wide-eyed. Come to church, listen to a message, 10 minutes in. Yeah, because the guy is boring, right? If you sleep while I'm preaching, it's not because of me, it's you. Definitely it's you, not me. Because I will never be boring. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. The cares of this world, the concerns of this world, the riches of this world, the pleasures of this world, they choke that word and says, and bring no fruit to perfection. They bring no fruit to perfection. But remember, the seed is the word and the seed is the fruit. In other words, because of your cares for the things of this world, you don't allow the word of God to take full perfection in your life. You're distracted by too many things. And we need to reconfigure our processing of things and what is important. What's really important to me? And that which is important to me, is it important to God? Does God prize it? We spend our time swearing, cursing, and abusing each other. And strange things that we fight about many times mean absolutely nothing. Now, I'm not saying that there are things that are heavy-duty stuff that should not happen, and we might get into, you know, an engagement of, you know, some nice talking. But what is it that causes you to not just deal with the issue, but attack a creation of God and abuse the creation of God? You know, when you're abusing the creation of God and saying that this creation of God is stupid, is dumb, foolish, and everything else, do you know that you are addressing that to God who created that person? And why is it that you're calling the person foolish and the person acts foolishly, and then you are complaining that person is acting like exactly like what you said the person is? Who's the foolish one now? You're calling a pig. You pig. How come you are acting like a pig? The pig says, that's my nature. I do the pig thing. I'm Mr. Piggy. What do you want me to do? Well, you creating your relationship based on what's coming out of your mouth. Nothing changes by you confirming what the devil is saying or what the devil is showing. Nothing changes that way. You choose to say what you want. So Sarah says about Abraham, Lord, my Lord. Is it because Abraham was Mr. Nice? The guy jumps, you know, from Sarah to Hagar, just by the mention of the word. But what did God look at? Think God is looking at all the terrible things about him and speaking all the disaster. God is looking at his future and saying, I have an investment here, and I'm going to make good of this investment. You, I'm going to take you all the way through and perfect you. When you fall flat on your face, stand up and look up. Say, God, you are my helper. I messed up again, but you can do something with my life. I messed up this test, but bring me past the test to a testimony. I believe in you. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Yeah, people may attack you based on your most recent failure, but keep on reminding yourself about the victory that God has ordained before the foundations of the earth for you. And go after that. It's not make believe. No, it's you truly believing. Not, grace, I can mess up all I want. Hallelujah, praise God. God will forgive me anyway. No, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. No, grace is the ability of God working in you and through you. And while you are fallen, the Bible says, a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he gets up again. Gets back up and says, no, I'm not quitting. If God's word says I can live a victorious life, I am going to be the manifestation of that one who lives victoriously. That's taking up your cross and following him. It's a choice. But I tell you all of that to tell you this. The Lord is saying that those first 3 soils have been the history and dispensations that the church has gone through. But he's going to have a people in this last soil that have a good ground and have a good heart. It's a heart that beats after God. It's a heart that desires for souls to be saved. It's a heart that pursues after God and says, you know, I don't want to hear anything that is going to disturb the purposes of God for my life or for his body. I am investing myself to see thy kingdom come and your will done here in the earth as it is in heaven. Lord, what is it that you need from me? What do you want from me? What do you want from me? What do you want to do with my life? Why did you bring me to this church called Glory and Peace Church? Exactly what is my role here? Because I want to play my part perfectly. I'm going to spend time praying. I'm going to cry out to you to do something in our church so that your glory is manifested every time we come together. Your power is flowing freely and richly, and you spend time praying. You might even fast a day in a week praying. You study in the Word of God to see how when those people that God is going to bring come, pastor is not going to be able to talk to all of them. I got to be ready for them. You know, to share the word of God with them and encourage them and let them know that God is a miracle-working God and God can do something great and mighty in their lives. You're positioning yourself because you have a good heart. He says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it. They keep it. They obey it. They observe it. They allow that word to take root in their lives. And they bring forth fruit with patience. The patient. You know, the problem many times is that as believers, many times we're not patient. You know, not just not patient with ourselves, we're not patient with other people. We see other people's issues and their flaws and are not patient to wait and help them grow and come out of it. The seed is the word. It is not the fruit, at least not yet. But when the fruit comes, it will have many seeds in it. God, be patient with each other. Come alongside a brother and says, come on, let's go. We can make it. You know what? It's the story of three guys. They came on a storm, a blizzard. One of them had been injured, and they were both trying to help this guy. And as they're going, one of them decided, no, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to go on my own thrill. And so he left. The other one stayed and kept on helping, pulling this guy along. After a while, they saw lights for the house. And as they were going, they stumbled and tripped. And behold, the guy who left them had gone ahead and thought he was going to make it by himself. Frozen to death. And these two made it to that house, received warmth, were restored, and all of that. What was the difference? Same atmosphere, same conditions. The difference was, this one that was helping the other, while they were struggling together, they were exchanging body heat. The one that went by himself, nothing. Sometimes you think you've been slowed down by somebody else, but God is training you. And causing you to meet to the other what they don't have right now. And someday you're going to find out somebody else is going to help you. We do that by being thankful. Recently, I was putting out some letters of thanks, and I should give some to you, Sister Sandra, to those who helped us outside the church during our block party. And as I was penning that information down, I also decided to do something that they will find strange. I was sending thanks to those people that did not support us. And I was saying to them, thank you. I know you've got a lot of people asking you for stuff, but you at least took time to look at my requests for support. Thank you for doing that. Because thanksgiving is the conduit to promotion. If you're not thankful, you shoot yourself in the foot. Always be thankful. For the minutest thing, be thankful. For the big stuff, be thankful. For everything, The word of God says, be thankful in every situation. Be thankful. And you ask me the question, Pastor, what does this thankfulness thing that you're talking about now has to do with what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? See, because your soul is the seat of your decision making. It's your will. Huh? Your will, the way you think, your emotions. What does it profit you if you gain everything and you're not a thankful person? People will call you a jerk. That's what you are, a jerk. Because you're not thankful. Be thankful. But most of all, be thankful first and foremost that Jesus loved you enough to give his life for you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's the word the Lord has placed in my heart for us tonight. I trust that something said today spoke to you. Because this church of the Lord is going to be a fruitful church for his glory. Amen? I love you all. I thank God for you. I celebrate the goodness of God and the greatness of God in your lives. Hold on to the Lord and be steadfast in faith. And may his grace abound towards you and help you be all that you ought to be. Don't look down on yourself and think that you're nobody, like the seeds that fell amongst the rock that had no root in themselves. Understand that God can make anything grow if you hold on to his truth. You will be everything God says you are. Because God doesn't just see you the way you are now. He sees you full grown, blessed, and highly favored. The other day I was looking at my youngest granddaughter. And as I looked at her, I said, if Jesus tarries, this one too is going to be married. And one day, I'm going to be carrying her child. Huh? That's what God sees. He sees past now. He sees the whole shebang. He sees you well. He sees you doing well. He sees you breaking records, doing extraordinary things. He sees you giving in ways that you cannot even imagine. He sees good things. Receive that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Is there anyone here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior and want to give his life to God and say, God, I just surrender my life to you. Be my Lord and my Savior. Do something with my life. If there's anyone like that, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. Or maybe there's somebody here today that says, you know what, Pastor, I've given my life to the Lord, but I've not been walking with him. I want to reinstate my walk with God. I want to seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. I don't want to gain the world and lose my soul. I want God to be number one in my life. I want to rededicate my life. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'll pray with you. Anybody like that? Well, I see no hands up. So I will only assume that everyone here has given their lives to the Lord already and they are walking with him. Amen? There is no shame or fear in love. So receive the love of God. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the miracles that you have already brought into play in our lives today. Thank you, Lord, that our lives are transformed, our minds are renewed. And Lord, oh God, our testimony is absolute. God is a good God. God is a God who's loved us with an everlasting love. We are enriched, empowered, fulfilled, graced with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's our testimony. And we are everything you see we are. Father, thank you, Lord, for the signs. But most of all, we thank you, Lord, that your word is true. And we receive the manifestation of your prophetic declarations of our lives this day. Let it be so according to thy word unto us. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Remember, God cherishes your giving. He says, I love hilarious, ready to do it givers. Amen. So just come, just give to God, and let God be pleased by that which you bring to him today. And may he multiply your seed sown. May you prosper because you desire the prosperity of God's agenda. Amen. Hallelujah. Next week is the last Sunday of the month. And the last Sunday of the month is our mission Sunday. But the evening service is a healing service. Amen. So next Sunday evening is healing service and missions. Mission Sunday, that's when we give over and above what we'll normally give for souls, investing for souls. Hallelujah. There are many meetings yet to do this year, and it's not inexpensive going out there and doing ministry. It's still very practical and necessary to minister in person live rather than just via Zoom, even though that's partly most of how ministry is going to be done in this last of the last days. But we cannot separate that live feed. Something the Lord said to me many years ago, it's got to be about 40 years ago. He said, the days are going to come when you are going to be in different parts of the world at the same time. I said, how? He said, you're going to be there. You're going to be preaching my word in platforms at the same time. I said, like on television? He said, no, no, no. It's going to be like you're there in person. I said, I don't get it. How is that going to happen? He said, holograms. Hologram. Yeah. That technology is coming real fast. And I'm believing God that we will hit the road running when holographic. Actually, they're doing it now, but Hollywood is doing it. So they are doing movies with people that are long dead through holograms. But God prophesied that this is how also we're going to preach this gospel. You know, and when that time comes, we'll be in Australia. We'll be in England. We'll be in South Africa. We'll be in Brazil, we'll be in Toronto, all at the same time. And we've got to have the harashes and the technology to tap into it. See these cameras here? 30, 40 years ago, God said, go buy cameras. I said, why? He says, for the internet. At that time, internet had nothing with videos in it. It was just graphic. He says, get on the internet and buy cameras. I said, what? A few years later, videos on the internet. I'm telling you right now, what God told me about 30, 40 years ago about holograms, the time is here. And we're going to have the resources. Amen? And we will do it together. Praise the Lord. Bless you. You gave your offerings already? All right, rise with me if you've given your offering already. Still waiting for some? Okay. Make a funnel. Say, Lord, pour your blessings into my life and forever change me. May I be a manifestation, a clear manifestation to all of a blessed person. I am blessed. I am blessed. And I am a walking manifestation of the blessing. I live a blessed life. And everyone I touch is impacted with the blessing that is flowing and overflowing in me and through me for your glory and honor forever. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let all the blessed people say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I see a face or two faces I don't think I've seen before. So let me say hello quickly to them. Bless you. What's the name?